Connie Post served as Poet Laureate of Livermore, California from 2005 to 2009. And during her term, she created two popular reading series, Wine and Words and Ravenswood. She wrote 25 poems for civic and community events and also developed a youth poetry critique group that met every month for 4 years. She has published work in a great number of journals, some of which I bet you've even heard of, such as Calliope, Comstock Review, Cold Mountain Review, Crab Creek Review, Caesura, Huron Review, and those are just the C's. They just go on and on and on. Why? Because Connie's work is well-regarded and widely regarded. She's earned over 100 awards for her poetry, including the 2009 Caesura Poetry Award from the Poetry Center of San Jose, the Dirty Napkin Cover Prize, and she was finalist for a number of years for the Muriel Craft Bailey Awards for the Comstock Review and a finalist for the 2008 Lois Cranston Memorial Award. Connie's written several books of poetry, and her most recent, the one that she'll be reading from the most tomorrow at the John Atsoulis Gallery at 8 o'clock, is titled And When the Sun Drops. It's from Finishing Line Press, and it's about autism and children with autism, a topic that's also very dear to me. I'm pleased that she could join us today. Connie Post, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on the radio show. I'm glad that this time worked out for you, and I'm looking forward to seeing your reading tomorrow evening. And When the Sun Drops is a collection that I got to hear a little bit of in Crockett this past Sunday. But could you tell the story of how this collection came about?
Yeah. I had actually written two books earlier in my son, Thomas, who's now 26, in his diagnosis of autism. So the book, And When the Sun Drops, is all poems about having an adult son with autism. And I wrote a lot of poems over the years after the second book, which ended when Thomas was about 5 or 6. And I was just kind of keeping them sparsely, but not really thinking about a collection. I had a very good friend of mine who, you know, as I had sent her poems, said, you know, you should really put together a third collection. And I was doubtful in the beginning for a variety of reasons, but over time thought about it. I said, you know, a lot of people really don't know what happens in the lives of people who have kids with severe disabilities / autism and what their lives are like when they become adults. And so as I put the collection together, I sequenced it kind of to tell that story. It was a more emotional journey for me than I had expected for obvious reasons, but I was really pleased with the results.
When I've read poems about autism, I've noticed that they really resonate with audiences. And I think because if you're writing as a parent, there's such investment that we have in our children. And if you're the parent of a child with autism, you get payoffs that are different from what you would have expected or anticipated when you first thought about parenthood and,
right,
and your dreams for a child. And in terms of these poems, do they start at about age 5 and go up to 26? Or?
Well, probably I had a gap from like 5 to 10 or 11. And as Thomas started adolescence, there's a whole new kind of set of issues that we were presented with. So really the poems kind of range from 13 to, you know, about 23, about that 10-year period.
Right. Well, I know from having talked to you at a variety of poetry events that this is a topic that you return to, but that you've had a number of balls in the air, including your work as the Poet Laureate of Livermore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how it was that that position came about. Were there Poets Laureate of Livermore before you? And how supportive did you find the community was for your work as a poet and an advocate for poetry?
Oh, well, that's a good question. So Livermore, actually, I was the first Poet Laureate of Livermore. It did not previously have a Poet Laureate. And each city decides for their own sets of reasons why they want a Poet Laureate. But at some point, there was a member of the community named Blanche Abrams, and she said, we should have a Poet Laureate at Livermore because there had been one in Pleasanton for quite some time. And so she went to the city council, created the position, And at first, you know, I work full-time in business. I was doubtful about applying for all the obvious balancing time challenges, which you would know about, of course.
Yes.
And after some thought, I decided it was something I wanted to pursue, so I applied and was accepted by the city council and the arts commission. And so it was kind of great because it was a blank canvas which was to paint on and develop community activities. I can't say enough about how supportive the community of Livermore was. They were so supportive that at many of the events I wrote poems of occasion for, they made these little stock poem cards and put them in baskets with ribbons on them, and they really celebrated the fact that I was writing poems for the community. I also worked on a teen critique group, and I was very supported by that.
Right.
And got a lot of benefits from that, and actually still have relationships with some of those. So as a whole, I think the community itself was very supportive. I think when you find communities that are generally supportive of the arts, it extends into that realm as well. So it was a four-year experience that was very gratifying for me on many levels.
Excellent. And I know that when you were a poet laureate, that also gave you an opportunity to meet with other poets laureate around California.
Mm-hmm.
And that must have been fun as well.
Very much so. I actually started working with a woman named Ronna Leon, who is the former poet laureate of Venetia now, on a project to kind of consolidate who are all these poets laureate in these communities around the state. What are they doing? We should kind of be together as a community. And so I got to know a lot of poets all over the state, which was very gratifying.
I wanted to ask you about the press for your new book and When the Sun Drops. What is Finishing Line Press, and how was it that that became the home of this important manuscript?
Finishing Line Press is one of the premier chapbook presses, I would say, in the country. And I had actually had my manuscript in 2010, Tripwires, published by them and was accepted. I was really pleased with the quality of the book itself and, you know, the work that they did with me. And so I had submitted this manuscript to various other chapbook contests, but it did end up finding a home at Finishing Line, which I was happy for because on the second time I really understood their process a lot better.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of other chapbooks. I'm just happy with the physical quality of the book, and I feel like they really support their authors, even though I know they have a tremendous amount of authors. I feel that they really support their authors, and they only do poetry. So I was pleased when Leah Maines, who is the editor, accepted it and also found out after the fact that she has a young son with autism as well, which I didn't know.
Well, from what I can tell about the manuscript, and I plan to purchase a copy tomorrow at the John Atsoulis bookstore, there are lessons there for people who are interested in autism and not in poetry, as well as those who are interested in poetry and not primarily in autism. And so I'm looking forward to sharing it with some parents I know for whom it'll
I appreciate that. And a lot of people have told me they didn't know it can be as severe because Dom does have more severe case, so I was glad I got the word out on that part of it anyway.
Yeah, and with regard to autism, many people think of Rain Man,
right,
and focus on the savant qualities of some people. And those are wonderful and impressive stories, but not highly representative.
Right, they're about 3% of the whole population.
Right.
Right.
And you know, I know autistic kids who impress me as well,
mm-hmm,
but it's more, you know, for qualities that you have to really be patient and receptive to notice,
right,
rather than ones that will, you know, impress you with their mathematical acuity, for example.
Exactly.
Great. Well, Connie, we have time for one more poem. Do you have another short one that you can share with us?
Ooh, yes. I will do the quick flip through. It'll probably take me less time to just... Okay, I will read Blood Test. Thomas has regular blood tests for some medical issues that he has, and so this is a short one. Blood Test. It is time to test your levels again. The same woman waits for you in the same room. All that changes is the needle. I think now you understand there is no escaping what they pull from our bodies. I think the swabs, the cotton, and the anesthetic don't matter as much as they used to. When the results come back, they will call and tell me your levels are a little off. They will raise you from 1 to 2 teaspoons, and the viscous liquid will be given without ever having passed through your hands.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Connie Post, poet laureate emerita of Livermore, California, and featured poet tomorrow evening as part of the Poetry Night reading series here in the city of Davis. If you'd like to find out more about Connie and about this event tomorrow, also featuring C.J. Morello, then I invite you to visit the website, poetryindavis.com. Connie, it's a pleasure as always to talk to you.
And I thank you very much, Andy. It was a pleasure for me.
Same here. Take care, and I'll see you tomorrow evening.
See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.